You are incredible God, incredible God, incredible. Pastor Randy Mitchell, please come. Reverend Oliver, please come. Pastor Manaj, please come. Give them a big God bless you as they come. Incredible God. We're going to talk about stewardship for just 25 minutes. I wish we can have time to dissect it. Please, sir, come and sit. If you need any of your materials, you can bring. Yes. You are incredible, God. Just leave those hands. Don't stand. Incredible, God. You are incredible, God. Let's sing it one more time. You are incredible, God. Incredible, God. Incredible, God. First of all, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And he said, let them have dominion. God gave man dominion. And dominion is stewardship. That's why whether you are in position of authority politically, or you are a spiritual leader, or you are a business leader, it doesn't matter which field, you'll be given influence, power, resources, or authority. You are a steward of God. In any way, we even learn that the throne you sit in the office, even your office chair as a manager, even your office as a father, as a mother, whatever it is, whatever position you find yourself, that throne, that seat, that office, that position is an extension of God's government. You should understand that you are a representative of God. So God gave man dominion in verse 28. He blessed them. He said, be fruitful, multiply, you know, and listed all those four laws of productivity. And now said, have dominion. In other words, there are laws that once they obeyed, they produce dominion. The first is be fruitful. The second is multiply. The third is replenish the earth or the society. The fourth is subdue. Then dominion will come. So even though he gave man dominion, there is also a process involved. We'll look at some aspect of it from the angle of stewardship. What is stewardship?
Stewardship basically means that somebody trusted you enough to put his possessions in your care so you can act on his behalf. And then, and if you do a very good job at that level, he can upgrade you to another level of stewardship. But when you forget you're a steward, he will sack you.
When you forget that you're a steward, you start thinking that you are the owner. A bank manager, you know, he's a big guy, can even go to higher level, bank MD. He's not the owner of the bank. He's a manager of the bank. A steward is somebody that manages on behalf of another. All the things you possess are not yours. If you think they are yours, you are in for a rude shocker. What is stewardship, Pastor Randy? There's a definition you gave.
Yeah, real simple. Definition would be managing God's blessing, God's way, for God's glory.
Clap well, clap well. Managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. Managing the resources God has given you, the way he wants it to be managed, and deploying it for his own glory, for his own purposes. Reverend, what is stewardship in layman's terms? What does it mean?
In sense of God and man, that God created everything and he employed man to manage it for him.
Did you hear that?
And if you do so, especially in every enterprise, there is a promotion for you because you're an employer. Employee of God. So when God calls us, He called us an employed man to manage his resources, everything he has curated.
Now, I know there are managers here, professionals here, businessmen here. Tell me, out of all these things on earth, which one you made? You created. Now, let's not lie. Man has manufactured some products. Am I not correct? There are products that are not manufactured by God, but they are manufactured by men. But where did you get the resources to manufacture them? The ability to even take resource that God made and harness it and move it to secondary value or tertiary value is part of stewardship. That's like Nigeria. We're not able to refine our fuel. If we refine and start supplying petroleum products now, not crude oil, then we have moved it to secondary value. And there are tertiary values. For example, polymer materials like the seat you are sitting on, that plastic, it came from petroleum. A lot of, like the cover of this AC is petroleum product. This is tertiary value. When you refine fuel, that's secondary value. And we're not even able to do that. All we are selling to the world is crude oil. That's why we are poor. But no matter what value you add to it, everything you are using here is God's resources. Okay. What happened to the first man, Adam? How did man fall? Because the fall of man has something to do with stewardship. Pastor Emma, what happened in the garden? Why was Adam kicked out?
There is something called power, but power without boundaries leads to destruction. Man was given the garden to manage. But he went beyond the authority God gave him, and God had to discipline him. So even in stewardship, you should know where your power begins and ends.
You should know where your power begins and ends. In other words, because it's delegated authority, you don't have all authority. You're still under authority. And the higher authority can sack you. You should know where your boundaries are. What happened to man in the garden, Reverend?
Man failed as a person God employed in his duty managing what God has given him, and God sacked him.
Are you people hearing that? On earth now, there are rich people on their way to poverty. The traffic of life is traveling in both directions. And there are people that are very poor on their way to wealth. There are powerful men in government, powerful men that are on their way out of power, and some is permanently. There are even people with political dynasties on their way out of it. And there are people that have never tested political powers that are on their way to it. It's traveling in both directions, like your road. The traffic is moving this way, it's moving this way. Some are moving to destiny, others are being sacked from it. In life, the process is going on. What happened in the garden is happening constantly. And some get the sack and lose their life too. Remember that man that was blessed with wealth in the Bible? He said, oh, my soul, you cannot realize, eat, enjoy. He removed God from the equation. God said to him, it's not just that you are sacked. Tonight, your soul is being required for you. Let's see who will now enjoy what you have built. When you turn money to your God and you go beyond the limit God has given you, he takes what he has given. What happened to Adam in the garden, please, sir?
Well, essentially, as has already been stated, he forgot that he was a steward and started acting like an owner. God had given him something to manage, and with management, there are requirements. God will hold him accountable. And that's one of the most important things about stewardship, is you have to give an account of what you've been given to steward.
You remember, he told him all the trees in the garden you can eat. Garden manager, bank manager. But you see that one, that's where your boundaries is. Don't cross that place. God put that to let him know you have a boss. There is somebody. Authority that you have is delegated. You are still accountable to somebody. It's not that there is, you might find this tree and there might not be anything special in it. There might be, I don't know. There might not be anything special about that tree. But what the sin here is, abuse of stewardship. It was rebellion. It was disobedience. So, we are not there yet. We are going to deal with principles of stewardship. But when you get there, one of them you will learn is, when you take what God has not given you, God takes away everything he has given you. He lost the whole garden. Okay, what are the four pillars of stewardship? You talk a lot about it, Pastor Randy, so I want you to answer that one so we can move fast.
Yeah, very quickly. The first pillar of stewardship is understanding that God created everything. As Pastor David has already pointed out, there's nothing, if you're asked to bake a cake, but you're not given flour, sugar, milk, eggs, or a stove, or a pan, you can't bake a cake. You can't make something that is made out of nothing. Only God could do that. The Bible says from nothing he created everything. So that's the first principle. God made it all. The second principle, or the second pillar, is that God owns it all. Okay? Because he made it, he owns it. And very quickly, Deuteronomy 10:14. Behold, the heavens and the earth, the heavens belong to the Lord God, and all of the earth and all that is in it.
Join us. Read it. 1, 2, go. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God. The earth also with all. Oh, my God. I thought the earth belonged to man. Heaven belonged to God. The earth was leased to us.
The earth belonged to God. It was given to man to steward, but we don't own it.
We don't own it.
And then Psalm 24:1.
The earth is the Lord's and what? And everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Oh, including the human beings belong to God.
Everything. Everything. And one
Not
more.
Just the resources, human beings.
One more. Psalm 50, verse 10 and 11.
For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. Add verse 11. I know every bird in the mountain and the insects in the fields, they are mine. Is there any of you that can challenge God on this? Maybe you made some, you have ownership of some. And God has made this so. That's why you come here with nothing. It's accountability time. Yes, the four pillars you mentioned.
The third pillar, the first is he made everything. The second is he owns everything. The third has already been referenced, and that is he delegates responsibility.
So he delegated everything. If you are richer than somebody, don't be boasting about it. It's just... Is that not what the Bible said? We brought nothing into this world. It is evident that we are what? Taking nothing out. He said, what did Job say? Please, if you find the scripture, you can even quote it.
See,
Job
Mike,
said, naked came I, naked I'm going. I know they dress corpse, so you might think you're not really going naked. You wear your designer suit to go. But the termites in the ground will collect the suit for you. Even if they give you Egyptian embalmment. Nobody comes here with even a toothpick. You didn't even bring a pant. Everything you think you have here, you made them here. And you're also going to leave them here. When they're talking about giving to God or to the poor or to one word, because your head is catching fire. I know this church was a good church, but now they have crossed the boundary because they've touched your pocket. You don't own it. If you want to clap, clap, oh, clap, clap, clap. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, Pastor David, the person who says they're a self-made man, I worked for this, I did this, my question to them was, what was man before God animated him with his own life? What was man before God breathed his own life into him? He was a pile of clay,
a pile of dirt.
That's all he is. Apart from the life God gives, the breath God gives.
And I was asked to come and help raise a young woman from the dead. She was pretty. When I prayed and prayed, it didn't work. God has helped us, answered us on other occasions. I prayed and prayed, it didn't work. I told them not to bury her. We kept her body for one day. It didn't work. Then I started crying. Look at how pretty this girl is. She, even in the funny way that she died, the blood was still, and after a while, she started smelling. Because we had spent a long time, she wasn't in the fridge, trying to get her back, and we have to let go, and they buried her. All that beauty was clay. All this makeup, all this long hair, Brazilian hair, fingers that are, people don't, who hear word for you in Lagos, all this fake life of Lagos. Is clay. Is clay, oh. All these lucky wives, lucky girls, lucky babes, is clay. Well, the day they check you out, you will get serious with life. And by then, it's 2 weeks. Yes, so the fourth pillar.
So number one, God, you can say it with me, he made everything. Number two, he owns everything. Number three,
he delegates
to man. But the fourth one is this. God will hold man accountable. And that's what we see when man had sinned against God, when he had failed to steward what God had given him, he was then required to answer. Man will give an answer for his stewardship.
And he was kicked out of the garden. Tell me how some of the ways God holds people accountable. Pastor Simon. When you start misbehaving, mismanaging, or
there's a story in the Bible about a man who, a lord who summoned a servant. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So there are people who are going to report you to God. And he called him, and he said unto him, how is it that I hear this of you? I give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest be no longer steward. So if you can't give account of what has been given to you, God will take it from you.
Now, so people get sacked. God sacks people.
Yeah, they get sacked.
He sacks for political, because power is still worship. You see how they lead us in Nigeria? It is lordship instead of service, instead of leadership. You think they own Nigeria. But time will come, all of them will be checked out. And guess what? They can't take Nigeria. They can't take the oil. They can't take the oil well. They can't take the money they've been banking up. And then it's time to face judgment. It's time to stand before the court of the judge of the universe and answer questions. And all that was required is why you hold the stewardship. Utilize the resources to advance the purpose of God on the earth. Utilize it to better the cause of humanity, especially the needy, the less privileged, and all of that. Utilize the resources for God's glory. So you see, giving is built into life. Living is giving. if you stop giving, death automatically occurs. That's why you take oxygen and you give back carbon dioxide. You take water and you go and wee-wee. Anytime these things are interrupted, death is what will occur. You eat food, you give back manure to the soil. And since they took us from clay and breathed life, when people die, they have to return the clay to the ground. Life is built on exchange, it's giving and receiving. You don't believe in giving, then you believe in dying. Even if it's businessman, you broke through into an idea, you are doing something in a community, you need to know that a portion of the profit needs to be reinvested, not just reinvested in the business, in the community where you are making that money. Do something for their youths. Do something for their widows. Do something. And then you get more than profit. You now get goodwill. The people will love you. You want to clap? Clap well. Oh.
Sorry. This,
yes, sir.
This Luke chapter 12, verse 21 you mentioned, I think it has to be in Good News Translation.
Luke chapter 12, verse 21.
Yes.
Please project it for us.
The rich man... You know the story that the man was, his farm was doing well. And as he was going, he now thought to himself, this is what I will do. I will expand my barn and so on and so forth. Look at what Jesus concluded.
It starts from verse 20.
But God said to him, you fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things you have kept for yourself? Verse 21.
So the first thing God took from him for mismanaging stewardship, he took his life from him.
Because there is a purpose for everything God has given us. And Jesus concluded this is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight.
This is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight. One translation said they are not rich in good works. Put King James. King James said they are not rich towards God. Yes. They are not rich towards God. They are not rich towards God. Because where we are going, we can't carry the money. But there is a way to carry things over to eternity. The things invested to advance God's work and purposes on the earth, and the things invested to impact human life, those things now are recorded in your other account. Okay, back to stewardship. Let's see if we can find at least five major resources God gave us to steward. Is the way you say it, Pastor Randy. Yes, go ahead. You use the 40 and R.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say this. You cannot think of stewardship as God's means of getting something from you. Stewardship is God's way of sharing with you what belongs to Him and the world. Now, He's given you up to five things, okay, that you're required to steward. We could start with...
Gentlemen, can you give me 10 more minutes? Let's tidy this up well, eh? Is this very important? This is life-saving, I'm telling you. So all this your promotion, like people that have, you talked about giving, you responded in that. You need to understand, have a foundation for even giving things to God. When you're giving things to God, you have to understand, you're not coming to help God. It's like the president gives you a contract, yeah, and awards you all kinds of things. And then now, the president is opening one project or foundation, and he said, come and donate 1 million. Come and donate 2 million so that we can do this. And you come. Businessmen that are political entrepreneurs that do business with government understand that very well. They are getting their leverages and benefit from government. So when they ask you to come and donate, you don't tell a Dangote. They know. But they say, he said, no, my friend, I cannot do that. I can't donate. What happens next time? They use policy. They use power to cut you to size. The one that has ultimate power, think about what he's capable of doing. Okay. So the four resources.
Yeah, so let's be clear. Everyone has been given these five things and will be required to steward them. First is temple. You have a temple, okay, which is the body that God has given you, and you have to steward it.
So you see, the temple of God, your body, including your spirit and your soul. You can even cut your life short by what you're doing with that. You don't take care of it, what you eat, junks, all kinds of not taking care of it. Even when you need medical help, get it. Preserve this car so it can serve you for long enough for you to finish your purpose. Not T number one is temple. T number two
is time.
Your time.
So it's every day, your youth, your adulthood, your retirement. How do you spend your life?
Because time is life. When you are thinking about managing your life, think about what you're doing with your time. A lot of people have lived wasted life. They waste. You know, if you see what people are doing, some home video, time that could be used to invest in growth. It could be reading books. And there are even movies that are educational. Wasted time is wasted life. Okay, number three.
Number three, we could say, would be talent. Everybody's been given some ability, some skill, anointing, calling.
So the call of God on your life and the abilities and the talents God has given you, even anointing. We're not owners of that. We are stewards of it. Your talent, what do you do with it? Yes?
And then everybody has been given some treasure.
That's whatever your finances, you material
possess.
Possession.
And then number four would be the relationships.
Number five.
Or number five, I'm sorry, would be the relationships that God has entrusted you to.
So, 40 and out. When it gets to a relationship, that includes you're a steward of your wife or your husband. You answer question, what do you do? You're a steward of the children. You don't own those children. God may have a governor, a calling on a young child to be a governor in future, and he decides to let the child come in your house. But do you know what you do with the child? Can leave the child a street out or an armed robber. Stewardship of relationship includes parents. Honoring your parents. There are certain partnerships and friends that God brings your way that will help take you to your journey to your destiny. You can mismanage it. There are ways we abuse relationships. Including ministry, relationships, and partnerships. So you see, money is just one of the things, or material possession, just one of the things. It's much more than that. It starts with your life. What did you do with your life? Did you use it to fulfill purpose? Or did you live a wasted life? There is invested life, there is wasted life. A life that is invested in the service of God that made you and in the service of humanity. Okay. This is where we'll close. I wish we have time to go into some very serious things. Let's look at some principles of discipleship. Pastor Iman, let's see how many you can give us, you know.
Okay, the first principle is that you are not your own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. You are not your own, you belong to God.
Any scripture he calls, put it up fast so that people will just be following. It's good to see the Bible.
6, verse 19. You are not your own, so you don't even own yourself.
Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not your own. Add verse 20.
You are bought with a price.
You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So apart from the fact that he made us, he owns us by making us. He owned us double by buying us out of slavery. That's what redemption is. When you're born again, God redeemed you out of bondage by paying with the life of his only son. God owns you twice. Everyone say, God owns me twice. Go ahead, sir.
The second one, we just pointed out, you belong to God, as yes. we said in verse 20. The third principle is you came with nothing. You will go with nothing.
Is there any scripture to support that?
What is that? Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7.
Okay, you see verse 7. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
This is also said in Job 1:21, but number four principle.
Job 1:21. Let me see what is in it. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The day he lost all his children, and he was the wealthiest man in the East, lost all his wealth. Became poor, from wealth to poverty. But this was his attitude. So let God restore him back and made him double of what he had, gave him double of what he had. Yes, sir.
Number four. Everything you have, you received. First Corinthians.
Everything
you have, you received.
Wow. First Corinthians what?
Chapter 4, verse 7.
Please put it up. I would like to see if that one is in the Bible. Who has made thee to differ from another? What hast thou that you did not receive? Now, if you received it, why are you boasting as if thou hast not received it? Clap, oh, clap, 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 clap. I'm a self-made man. It's only your brain that you are confused. You are the one. You are living in deception. Sometimes it's human beings that are used to give you that opportunity to take you to that position. Sometimes, because when God works, he also uses men. So when you see people you are better than, stop boasting, thinking that you are really better than them. It's just grace that God gave you. I think you are the one that said it. If you think you are very intelligent, realize that the other people like you, their own computer crashed, they are walking in the streets naked. They brought a mad man here. He's in this auditorium. Pastor Shola, which university was that? I think it was University of Lagos. University of Lagos. His brother brought him. He graduated. When he graduated, the extra graduation he collected was madness. He started walking around. They would tie him with chain. They would. God set him free. God set him free. He's from Southwest. Sir. So, is it because you went to school, that's why you are better than somebody else? And these are the reasons why there's pride and arrogance that go with wealth or power. We create this elitist thing and we despise other people. You know, sin is a privilege to render service, to help the little you can, at least in your own word. I have a way of saying it, Pastor Emma. Whenever God makes you a rich man, you remember the rich man in the Bible that went to hell, he puts a Lazarus in your gate. It might be your neighbor, it might be a family member, it might be extended family, it might be in church. Oh, that Lazarus will decide your fate. What you do with it. You might not have to help everybody, but there will be some Lazarus, very poor, struck around you. He might even be sick. Just small hospital. Yes, go ahead, sir. You know.
Number five. Until you give yourself, you cannot give your goods or substance. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Until you first surrender yourself to the Lord, it will always be a struggle giving what is in your hand. The giving is a problem for so many people. Let's read it. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. The chapter is about financial giving to the work of God. That a man that truly is a giver is a man that is truly a surrendered person. That is not possessed by what he has. Wealth can now become your master instead of you being his master. We're supposed to steward it, not to let it control us. Yes, yes, sir.
Number six, God gives to every man according to his ability, not his prayer.
not his prayer. Let me say it in another way. God does not give you what you ask for. He gives you what you can manage. Just like if you're a little boy, baby boy, you have jeeps in there, you cry, say, "Daddy, I want to drive." Will you allow him? But why wouldn't you do that? That thing would destroy him. So in stewardship, as you show faithfulness and competence in one level, they move you to another level. There are some things, no matter how much you pray, you will still not get to. You have to show faithfulness. And you know, it is two things that are required. They require faithfulness. They also require competence. It's a good and faithful servant. There is a faithful part. There is the part of somebody who is able to manage and at least even multiply what he's given. But this principle applies to business too. Yes, 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 sir.
That is Matthew 25, verse 15.
Matthew 25, verse 15. Unto him,
unto one
he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities. But do you know when God gives you one spiritual gift, for example, 1 talent, it doesn't mean that's where you end. Because there's another principle that said, when you are faithful in managing what God has given you, the little things, he moves you to bigger things. That's why somebody can start a business with 100,000 and overtake the man that started with 5 million, who is wasting resources. And this one is being prudent. So if somebody is more talented than you, or more anointed than you, or richer than you, don't think he's permanent. If he is moving, or if he's doing the right thing, he will keep moving. But if he's not, he will start moving backward. And you that was born in poverty, born with nothing, don't think that the state you are born into means your final state. No, it's just your starting point. That's why the principle of prodigal son applies. Many rich men's kids hardly do well. Just, they said, whether it's about 15% that end up retaining that wealth and growing it for them. Majority of them lose it later. It's usually the poor man's children, people who didn't have much leverage. Many billionaires and many multi-millionaires are first generation rich. Even happened to the wealthiest man in the Bible, his son, Rehoboam. You remember? Inherited all of Solomon's wealth and did not inherit his wisdom. In 1 year, he lost everything. There's even a warning there about parents and how you raise kids. Doesn't matter how much money you have. I'm going to start raising them with all that, whatever. Raise them to be responsible first. And give them training and all that. And even if they are to come into the company you have built, don't let them move up there and take over it. Let them grow and grow through the ranks. Later, 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 when they have learned, gone through the process, then they can talk about owning it. Yes, yes, sir. Maybe 2 more principles I need to close.
Okay. Number 7, to him that received more, more shall be required of him. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. For unto whomsoever much is given. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. To whom much has been committed, of him they ask for more. So God has made you a millionaire. Why are you still giving like a hundredaire? God has... Some of you are now talking about billions. You are in the realm of billions. You come and be dropping all those useless offerings. You give according to your size. God requires things for you based on how much he has blessed you. Yeah, some people giving God 1 million is an insult. Ah, yes, yes, sir. Final one, you know, there's so much there, but with this last one, we can.
Yes, I will now jump to number 11.
Okay, number 11.
God comes seasonally to look for fruits from the investments he has made in us.
God comes seasonally to look for fruits, to look for, to take account of the investments he has made in our lives. Any proof of that in the Bible?
Luke 13, 6 and 7.
Luke chapter 13 from verse 6 and 7. You can go ahead. Read it.
He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?
Go ahead. Verse 8.
And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after thou shalt cut it down.
What does this mean, sir? You can stand up. You know, what does it mean? What does this mean? God planted a tree. Year after year, he will come looking for fruit, no fruit. 3 years pass, no fruit. He said, cut it down. And he's talking about us, human beings. When God has made investment in you, and he's expecting return, and he doesn't. He gives you time. A time comes when he said, it's time to cut him down. Then the servants begged him, he said, give him one more year. Let's put more manure, put water, walk on him a little further. Let him hear what he needs to hear. And some of you, that is the message coming to you on Easter. He doesn't understand. If he hears what he should hear, he will become a giver. He will become a steward. He will start practicing stewardship. But then 1 year passes. What does that mean, really?
It's basically that after he has come and he has waited and there's nothing to show, for all the investments, like we're here, we're getting so much, especially in Dominion City, we're getting too many investments. Conferences, programs, pouring in of the word and all manner. God expects, he said to him, much is given, much is expected. So we have to rise up and do something with what we have received, lest we are removed. And he gave him one, he said, cut it down. But it was the intercession of his pastor, the dresser, the husbandman, that prayed and said, give him one more year. We don't know where that 1 more year has started and where it will end. But some of us are within that grace of 1 year. And I believe, God, before your 1 year expires, you will prove yourself worthy of the investments in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Any other thing I want us to go? Yes.
I just want to give an illustration of what you said. You see, about in Luke chapter 21, verse 1, Jesus was standing and the people were dropping their offering. And he said, the rich... And he saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. He didn't make any comment. And until a widow came and gave her 2 mites, 2, she could have kept 1, but she brought the 2. And Jesus made a comment and said that this woman has given all, more than all of them. And I want to believe, as we are saying, that who do you think, if God is the owner and man is the steward, who do you think is going to promote now? And another thing there is this, because our God is one who lifts up and brings down. There is something you will do, God will lift you up. There is something you will do, he will bring you down.
Yes, sir.
I have one final comment. If you look at the parable of the talent, that which has been referenced by Pastor Emmanuel, one man was given 5, one was given 2, each according to their ability. Both of those went and brought a harvest. Both of those were good stewards. But if you read that, you will notice that both of them received the same reward. Both of them, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So if you've been given whatever you've been given, you're not called to steward what someone else has been given. You steward what you've been given, and you'll receive that reward.
All of us should target to hear that when it's over, when this life is over. Well done, good and faithful servant. Everybody say that with me. Well done, good
and faithful servant. Put your hands on your heart and ask God to give you the spirit of stewardship and give you understanding of it in practice. When you understand it, there's even some things people will not be asking. You don't need your pastor to be coming around raising funds. What is it that you're doing? How do I get involved? What will it take to finance camp meeting? You need to go and ask Pastor Shola, Pastor Reverend Dubu. What did it take? All these preachers that flew from different parts of the world. Can I buy ticket for these ones? Can I do this? That's why God gave you what he gave you. What can I do to help the needy? What projects are going on for the poor? When is the next crusade? How can I be? I want to foot the bill for that next crusade. So that thousands, you need to see the number of people that gave their life to Christ in Enugu. What will it take? Ask God to give you the revelation and the spirit of stewardship. And to give you the understanding that accountability time is coming. And that day you don't want what happened to the unfaithful servant to happen. Father, help us.